Blog Talk Radio.
Y'all clowns are caster than just big talkers, showing what it really means to be a fake walker.
Yo, 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 it's your boy, N-God, on the internet, on iTunes and Amazon.com. Got the internet going nuts at 9 p.m. sharp Eastern time. I'm checking out my homie, Faith Walker, on what?
The Mental of God Empowerment Program.
When I stand before God and he asks me, why did I kill one of his true miracles? What am I going to say?
Jesus, draw me ever nearer as I labor through the storm you have called me.
Blessing, may
God, the only true living God.
Great and mighty
is our God.
Great and mighty is our God.
Now all over this room, lift your hands and say, let
silence.
Welcome to the Mantle of God Empowerment Program. I am your host, Minister Faith Walker, also known as the Lazarus. I trust you that your day has been wonderful. That was our EMG Worldwide Worship Mix. Definitely, if you enjoy for your listening pleasure, definitely inbox us, definitely to contact us, amen, at newtestamentpraise@yahoo.com. They will definitely let you know how they may make your accommodations, amen, in the name of Jesus Christ. So let's go into prayer, amen. If you've been rocking out, worshiping, if you ain't shouting, if you ain't just engulfed with the atmosphere, something's wrong on tonight. But everything is right because God come to set a lot of things in order. Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord God, we thank you, Lord God, for this broadcast, Lord God. We ask, Lord God, in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord God, everybody who's here, once again, Lord God, by divine assignment, Lord God, we just ask that you quicken your man of God. We ask that you quicken your prophet, Lord God. We ask, Lord God, that you anoint us, Lord God, in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord God. And, Lord God, touch that listener on tonight, Lord God. Set the atmosphere, Lord God. Set everything in its proper order, Lord God. Make the crooked straight, Lord God, in the name of Jesus Christ. Release your angels from the four corners of the earth realm, Lord God, and Lord God, allow them to take authority over everything that's not like you, Lord God, in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord God. Lord God, we stand in the liberty where Christ has made us free, God. So we thank you, Lord God, that we are not entangled in the yoke of bondage, Lord God. We thank you, Lord God, that we announce to the enemy, Lord God, he has no victory on tonight, Lord God, in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord God. And we thank you, God, in Jesus' name, amen and amen. We're going to go into a scripture reading, amen, for tonight. We'll be coming from Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 2, verse, amen, 20 through 21, amen. And it reads, we are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself, being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth into a holy temple unto the Lord, in whom ye are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. in the name of Jesus Christ. I just read, amen, Ephesians chapter 2, verses 20 through 22. Blessed are the hearers and the doers of God's holy word. Amen. Is shut down radio on tonight. My God, the Holy Ghost got everybody on tonight. Amen. Joining us on the Mantle of God Empowerment program. Amen. So before I bring this man of God on, just giving you an intro. Amen. This man of God that we have in the building, he's from the region of Texas, amen, where God has sent many apostles, sent many prophets in his hour, many fivefold preachers in his hour. This is where God has set him, amen. He's the Samuel of his time, amen. He operates from glory. We have Sean Morris International presents the prophet for this evening, for the prophetic mantle, amen. He comes to demonstrate the prophetic mantle, amen, and bring some clarity on his mission, his mandate, his assignment in this hour. I bring you none other than Prophet Sean Morris.
Amen, amen. How y'all doing out there today?
How you doing, man of God? Amen. It's an honor and privilege to have you on the broadcast on tonight, amen. We jam-pack on tonight, amen. Let's be clear. We definitely jam-pack on tonight, amen. But we thank God for you taking time out of your busy schedule to join us on the Mantle of God Empowerment Program.
Amen. It's my pleasure to be here.
Amen. Well, we ain't gonna shuck and jive. Amen. We're gonna dig in. Amen. When did you receive the call, and what transpired when you submitted to the call?
Well, I have to go back to when I first started off in ministry, and I received my call in 2008. And what took place was I was a person that was on drugs. I was on alcohol. I was addicted to heroin for 15 years. I was facing 99 years in prison, and God delivered me from those addictions. And when I came to Houston, because, see, my storms go way past Hurricane Katrina. So when I came to Houston, Texas, I'm originally from New Orleans, Louisiana, and when I came to Houston and I got saved in 2008, March the 3rd, the Lord told me, I was in a relationship, and the woman that I was with at the time, she was a prophetess of God, and the ministry that I was under was a prophetic ministry. And the woman of God that was over the ministry, she had prophesied and said, God had called you to be a prophet. Even though there was under a clergy type ministry, I didn't really fully understand what the prophetic meant at the time. Mm-hmm. And I didn't really want to receive it because of all the controversy I heard about prophets and the stuff that the attitude. And then I was living with a prophetess, and she didn't walk in the fruits of the spirit that I thought that a prophet of God should walk in. And so when I began to get my call and I was going through a divorce, when God told me, he said, I have called you to be my prophet. As a matter of fact, Lucy Rail, she's a prophetess of God. She called me out of a lot of people, and she said, God said you're his prophet, and don't you deny the call that you have called. Because, see, when you're a prophet, other prophets will recognize you. When you have a prophetic call, the Bible says, out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, my word is established. Another thing is that when you are a prophet, you're going to bear the fruits of a prophet because you're going to actually prophesy. So I had the opportunity to end up walking in the manifestations of God. Pastor Benny Hinn at the time, he called me out of stage out of 5,000 people, and he said, this man has a great anointing on his life. Let me tell you, he's going to do what I do. So we end up being under that ministry for over 3 years as our spiritual covering, and then till God launched us into what we are doing now.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
So let me ask you something, Prophet Man of God. Are you a prophet, a seer, who is a prophet, a watchman? How can we properly address the mantle of Prophet Sean Morris?
Well, I'm glad you asked that. See, every seer has a prophetic mantle, but not every prophet has a seer's mantle. Mm-hmm. See, before there were prophets, they were called watchmen or seers during the days of Samuel and the prophets of old. As far as my prophetic gift, I see in the realms of the spirit with prophetic dreams and visions, but my wife, Torah, prophetess Torah, my new wife, I just want to address that. My new wife, I did get a divorce, but God So I read a Vashti and sent me Esther. But my new wife, she moves in the seer's realm more than I do, and I hear more than I see. And I'm a seer as well, and I have the gifting to impart the seer's anointing, and that's something that the Lord has given me. But I see in the realms of the spirit for as visions, open visions, not so much of a dreamer, but an open vision type person. Or as I prophesy, God begin to show me different body parts, or he'll begin to show me open visions of what that person is going through at that moment.
Amen.
So, you know, that's the realm of the spirit that that we operate in, and that the Lord uses us in very often.
So what are some of the things that y'all do at Shawn Morris International? You're birthing out prophets in this season? God got you birthing out?
We birthing out many prophets, evangelists, pastors. We're an apostolic ministry, but our main lane is the prophetic. We believe that many people have their majors and their minors. And one of our majors is the prophetic, but it also comes with power and demonstration. We birth in our different prophets for us. They sit under our ministry, or they have their own ministries, and the prophetic mantle begins to fall upon them. I believe in this, and this is my belief system. You have to be under a prophet to really move in the prophetic anointing. You can't be under a pastor. You really can't be under a teacher or evangelist, intercessors. You have to be under another prophet. The Bible said that the spirits of the prophets are subject unto the prophets, submitted to the prophets.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to be under another prophet to really receive. Even if you are an apostle, even an apostle cannot train a prophet the way he should go because he's an apostle. Because many apostles don't move in the prophetic. They're apostles, but they're not prophets. So prophets are there because they are the eyes, the mouth, and the ears of God. And they direct them for the way.
Amen, prophet. see, you got a little, you was all in my spirit just now, amen, but since you pulled it out, amen, we're going to go there. 347-945-5416, 347-945-5416. The Mantle of God Empowerment Program, we definitely have Prophet Shawn Morris from Shawn Morris International in the building. We're going headlong into it right now to get your notebooks ready. It's going to be one of them programs. You was talking about an apostle cannot birth out, cannot teach a prophet, amen. So it's like the Bible said that we have these the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. He said some in the church, apostles and prophets. So those are two different dimensions.
Two different dimensions.
Amen. Can you break that down even further for our listening audience? Because we often talk, and there's this new age thing that's saying that we can elevate in the things of God. We can go, like I know somebody who switched three different anointings in the last 5 years, evangelist, prophet, and now apostle. Is that possible?
Sir, well, let me be honest with you. No, because you can't master one level until you commission to another. You have to master your major first before you can go to another realm of the spirit. And first of all, like I said, you have your majors in your mind. There's a specific anointing that God has birthed you out for. Now, you may move in different anointings as an evangelist, but that don't mean that you're an evangelist. You may even prophesy, but that don't mean you're a prophet. You may even go a lot and commission things and things of that nature, but that don't mean that you're an apostle. You may have apostolic power, but that don't make you an apostle. See, a lot of people don't understand that God has given us all a specific title that we hail and that we use. A lot of people say, well, a lot of apostles, you know, the apostles move in all fivefold. That's not necessarily true. I know many apostles that can't prophesy nothing, barely have a teacher's anointing, but they move in apostolic power. So the thing in a nutshell is you've got to know your major. And also understand your minors, because a lot of people are trying to walk in their minors when it's not their major and calling it their major. So a lot of people don't understand it. Yes, God give us different transitions and different anointings, but there's only one specific title. Jesus said something very powerful. He asked the disciples, who do men say that I am? Some say you're John the Baptist. Some say you're a prophet. Some say you're this. Some say you're that. But Peter said, you're the Christ, the Son of the Most High God. So he said, flesh and blood didn't reveal it to you. You recognize my title. So upon your recognition of my title, this is how I'm going to build my church. And the gates of hell won't prevail against it. So we got to understand this. You may be called a prophet by some people. You may be called this or called that. But there's only one specific thing that Jesus answered to. I'm the Christ. So he had one title. Even though they called him teacher, they called him the great shepherd, he this and that, but he said, no, I'm the Christ, the Son of the Most High God. So, yes, you may operate in these different measures, but that don't mean that you that's your exact thing what the Lord has called you.
Amen.
I hope you
Amen.
Understand that.
Amen. Okay, so we're getting down into it. So let me ask you something. A young man comes into a church, amen, who has a pastor as an overseer or who's in that ministry. God called this young man to be a prophet or called this woman of God to be a prophetess. They don't have no knowledge of that call. They kind of like just feeling their way. They don't know. They know something's going on in the realm. And now all of a sudden they said, God told me I'm a prophetess. The woman comes, well, God told me I'm a prophetess, pastor. What happens right there? What can that pastor do?
Well, one thing, how can I say this? First of all, that pastor has to be a real man of God. He has to be under apostolic covering to see something like that coming to his church. See, first of all, the church never was ran by the pastor. It was ran by the apostles and the prophets. The Bible said in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, first apostles, second prophets, third teachers. And not to put down pastors, but the thing is when you have someone that moves in that prophetic realm, you need to allow that person to move in that gifting because it's not about a one-man show. The Bible said that two or three speakers speak. Even when the Bible speaks about in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, let two or three prophets prophesy. See, in our church today, they only have one prophet in the building, or I'm the prophet of the house. That's not biblical. They allow two or three prophets to prophesy. So the thing in a nutshell is that a pastor in that type of position must yield to the Spirit of God and bring that person to someone that can actually train them in that gifting if he cannot train him himself. I believe it's a pride issue of the pastor. It's really up to the pastor, not so much that person. And that's why we have a lot of rebellious people in the church, and they go church hop and this and that. I used to talk against church hoppers until I realized the reason why they're hopping from church to church because they're not getting fed. Mm-hmm. So the thing is, it's up to the shepherd and also to the sheep to understand that, you know, the Lord will put you in the right position under the right person. So a pastor, if I was him, I would go to his overseer and ask him, could he commission me or pray for me that I move in that gifting, or ask the pastor, could you give me some biblical training or something of that nature, or a prophet that's in the house to help train me in this anointing.
Amen. Man of God, we got a caller that's live on the Mantle of God Empowerment Program. Caller, you're live on the Mantle of God. May I have your name, please? Caller, are you there? Okay, I guess they're bashful.
Well, you know what? I'll tell you what. You know, let me just back up. Pastor?
Yes.
Is the gentleman on who lived in New Orleans there?
Yes, I'm here, sir.
Okay, you know, I do want to share this with you. You know, the pastor knows a little bit about my work because I'm on Pastor Hill's radio blog now with Bone Crusher Smith. But my friend, when Katrina hit, and I'm the leading voice in the country and in the world in the field of high school equivalency.
Amen.
And you know what it was like growing up in New Orleans in terms of education.
Oh, yes.
Okay? How many of your friends dropped out of school? How many of your friends?
Okay, excuse me, sir. I don't mean to interrupt you, but we're talking about the apostolic and the prophetic.
No, I
right
hear you.
Now.
Okay, so, no, I appreciate it. And I just wanted to... I just wanted to, you know, just say a little bit about what he experienced as a young man. But you could take it right over, you know.
Yeah, I don't mean to, I'm not trying to be disrespectful, but I have to honor the man. I have to honor this prophet of God. I have to honor that, and we're just flowing by the way of the anointing right now. If you have a question pertaining to his mantle or his ministry, that's where we at right now as far as the work of the Spirit right now. It's no disrespect, but this is what the listeners are listening for. They want to know about mantle.
The question that I would have, you know, for anyone who's involved in evangelism in communities, right? And people are attracting the youth and other people in different ways. You know, what's the role that's being played in your ministry in, you know, with education, you know, for people in the community?
Well, see, the thing is everyone have different lanes. That's the job of the teacher. I'm a prophet.
Right.
So everyone has different lanes. When you are in the fivefold ministry, that's why you need the fivefold. You need to teach literature or give people information. See, the thing is we can educate people with information. They will never get the full essence of God's blessing unless they have revelation. And that can only be imparted through the apostolic and prophetic ministry. So we can, don't get me wrong, I'm all for education, academics, I'm all for advancement of people's skills, but that's not my lane. So I believe that every ministry, every church, every person should at least try to inquire someone who has teaching skills and abilities. I do teach from the biblical perspective, but far as education-wise and stuff like that, that's not my lane. That's not what God has called me to do. I believe that we're all the body, but we're all different parts of the body. If I'm the feet, I don't belong up here by the feet section. If I'm the nose, I don't belong on top of my head because I'll drown the first rain. So everybody got to know their lane and know their section in the body because it's just like a band. You don't put a horn player in a drum section. That's not his section. He belongs in the horn section, not the drum section. So for God to really flow correctly, we need everybody in their positions and out of alignment. So I would say that we would pray that God send teachers, send people. See me, I'm here to crack the door open. I'm not a pastor, so I'm not here to pacify or pastor them. To give them the mercy. I'm just here to do my job. And I'm not here to be the teacher. I mean, I teach my people as far as discipleship, but for the educational background and things of that nature, that's not my lane, sir. So, I mean, I would say that, you know, what we do is we educate people as far as kingdom advancement and knowing their kingdom identity in God. Once they know their identity, then it'll be easy to open up to education on all these other different avenues of advancement. Because if a person don't know their identity, they can go to school all day, they still won't learn nothing. So I have sisters, and I have people that have been in college, I mean, all their life, they come out and don't even do the job that they was in school for because they didn't know their call. So I believe you need to educate people spiritually more than academically because information can only last for a certain season, but revelation will stick with you for the rest of your life. I hope that answered your question.
Amen.
Well, I understand it. I really appreciate it.
We thank you. We definitely thank you for calling in, Mr. Dave, and definitely support you and amen all your work that you're doing in the community. We definitely thank you for calling in on the Mantle of God Empowerment Program. Amen. Continue to listen, amen, as we continue to talk. It seems like we got another caller on the Mantle of God Empowerment Program. Caller, are you there? What's your name? Hello? Carla, are you there? Okay. Yeah, Prophet. So we was talking about...
Yes, my name is Prophetess Deborah.
Okay, Prophetess Deborah. Welcome to the Mantle of God Empowerment Program.
God bless you. Thank you so much.
Amen. You got a question?
Yes, the question is directed to Prophet Morris. How are you, man of God?
I'm blessed, not stressed. How are you doing?
I'm blessed like you. Amen.
Amen.
I have a question, and I heard what you were saying, and it's awesome. And so my question to you is this. With the mantle of a prophet that God has gifted me with, and with the audience that he has also blessed and gifted me with, how do I teach other prophets that are calling in, and how do I get started?
Okay, that's a good question. The thing is, woman of God, a lot of people, I tell people all the time, the mantle sometimes is not taught, it's caught.
Okay.
See, Elijah received a mantle from Elijah. And the way that you receive a mantle from a prophet or to really teach a person is to get them to follow you. Elijah told Elijah, as long as the Lord God live, I will never leave your side. He tried to leave him at Gilgal. He said, as long as the Lord God live, I'll never leave your side. He tried to leave him at the Jordan. As long as the Lord God live, I'll never leave your side. See, for them to really to receive the prophetic anointing and the prophetic mantle from you, they must become a disciple and respect your anointing to the fullness.
Okay.
See, a lot of prophets, the problem is we teach them on the essence of God and the Holy Spirit and how they can hear God for themselves. But they have to have somebody to mimic. Because remember, Elijah received a double portion of Elijah's spirit, not the Holy Spirit. And
right.
He began to do similar miracles of his mentor. So it's through the mentorship of that person that they can receive that prophetic mantle. Some things you cannot teach them through just verbiage. Some things
okay.
They just have to be in your presence.
Okay.
So what I would do, woman of God, I would teach them everything concerning the prophets and understand that they must reverence the anointing upon your life for them to receive the double portion of what they want to do for going in the realms of the Spirit for themselves as prophets. Because remember, they had the school of the prophets. It wasn't that they can teach you how to prophesy, but you receive the mantle of the prophets by being in association with the prophets and watch how they demonstrated the prophetic.
Okay.
You understand what I'm saying? So
yeah.
It's through being in the atmosphere of that prophet, serving that prophet, that you reap a prophet's reward.
All right. Okay.
Amen. So
yeah.
If I was you, I wouldn't, a lot of people, and I'm just being honest with you, I don't do radio shows. I only do this for the man of God as a favor, because you don't do that, because I want people to be in the atmosphere with me.
I got you.
See, certain things you can't do just over, not, don't get me wrong, I'm not knocking those who do radio shows, and because this is an awesome radio show. I vouch for the man of God. I vouch for this radio show, but when you are under a certain mantle or with certain people, you have to be in the essence. They have to sow into your anointing.
Okay.
You can teach them all day, but if they don't sow into your mantle, they can't receive from it.
Okay, I got you.
You understand what I'm saying? So
yeah.
A lot of people, you got to know your worth as a prophet for them to actually receive from you. Because when the people stop receiving you as a prophet, they can't reap a reward.
Mm.
So as long as you display the mantle of a prophet before them, then they can reap from that mantle. No matter what are you teaching. So that's the key to that anointing, to teach other prophets, is that they must serve under another prophet.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Can
so
I ask one other?
Sure.
Can I ask one other question that I always have a question mark about when I hear this, that scripture quoted, that when Elijah, he got a double portion of Elijah's anointing. And you said just now, not the Holy Spirit, but his, a double portion of his anointing.
Right.
Can you break that down for me?
Well, the Bible said in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 32, it said this, and the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets, or submitted to the prophet. Let me break that down to you. John the Baptist received the spirit of Elijah. Okay? That's
okay.
The spirit of the prophets. There's a difference between the spirit of the prophets, the spirit of prophecy, and prophesying. It's a big difference. See, the spirit of the prophets is actually the spirit of that prophet. That's why a lot of people thought that Jesus was John the Baptist. They thought he was Elisha returning back. But see, a lot of people don't understand that when a prophet dies, his spirit doesn't die. It just gets transferred to another prophet. And you must pick up that mantle of that prophet. That's why when Elijah finally had the mantle, the other prophets say, we see that Elijah is the prophet, because we see the spirit of Elijah, the teacher, upon him. That's why when Elijah received the mantle from his mentor, he went by the riverbed and he said something very powerful. He said this: where's the God of Elijah? And he struck the riverbed and it split. He didn't say, where is my God? He didn't say, where is our God? He said, where's the God of Elijah, the man of God that I've been serving? Because he wanted that man of God's spirit to manifest upon his life. See, a lot of people don't understand it, that Jesus left his spirit.
My Lord.
That's why when we receive the spirit of the Holy Spirit, we begin to prophesy.
Okay.
And that's why he said, the works that I do, you do also. And greater works than these shall you do, because I go to my Father. And whatever you ask in my name, because if you receive a prophet in the name, of a prophet, you reap his reward. So Jesus was saying, when you access this prophet's name, you're going to reap this prophet's reward.
Jesus.
Oh, y'all don't hear me. When you receive that prophet in his name, you're going to reap that prophet's reward. That's why Jesus said in John 15, verse 20, he said, if they've kept my sayings, they'll keep your sayings also.
Prophet,
And my word about you, you shall have, whatever you ask, it shall be done unto you.
Prophet,
that's the spirit of the prophets.
Didn't want to interrupt the flow. We got a question that came in that says Timothy was a pastor. Timothy was a pastor sent out by Paul. So what is the difference with the pastors being in the church? Can you please address that?
Okay, pastors are very needed in the church. Pastors are another word for elders. They are there as overseers to oversee the church, to watch over things, to teach the people, to help the people, coordinate the people. But they was commissioned by the apostles. So I believe that any pastor that doesn't stem from an apostle, he still had to stem from an apostle to walk in that apostolic anointing as a pastor. So the thing is, yes, pastors are very well needed. They are the shepherds. They keep the sheep in line. But as also, they're there to give the nourishment to the sheep.
So, Prophet, you're saying that the office of a pastor has got kind of perverted over the years. The order in which the pastoralship should be flowing is not flowing correctly in the United States of America, in this hemisphere.
Yes, sir. Well, see, these days in America, especially in America, anybody that can quote a couple of scriptures and gather a crowd, they ordain them as a pastor. When that's not so, he must be commissioned from an apostle. And he must be able to be able to gather the sheep. Basically, he's a person that's where we get the word pasture from, because he's there to feed the sheep. He bring them to the pasture so he can nourish them with the nutrients that they need from God's word. However, it's been perverted because they have put him as the headship of the church, and that's not so biblically. He's there to be an elder of the church, to watch over the people and to watch over their spirits and things, but he needs to be watched himself. So we really have it really wrong these days about the role of a pastor according to what the Bible standards say. Because a pastor was there, he played the role of as an evangelist. He did do the work. That's why he told Timothy, do the work of the evangelist and fulfill your ministry. So pastors that are not doing evangelistic work are not fully walking as a pastor. Oh, my God. Because you're not gathering sheep. That's the job of a shepherd, is to gather the sheep. Oh, my God. You're supposed to gather the sheep. You're supposed to gather the sheep. So that pastor's not walking in an evangelistic role. He's not a full pastor. He's just a teacher.
My Lord. Prophetess Deborah, you have any more questions for the man of God?
I'm sorry?
You have any more questions for the man of God?
No, that was excellent. I will get back with you all later. God bless you. Wow.
God bless you.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. That was definitely the woman of God, Prophetess Deborah, awesome woman of God. She also has a broadcast, amen, on Blog Talk Radio. Definitely check her out, amen. Definitely an apostolic prophet, amen. God bless her in the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen.
We got another caller here on the mantle of God. I think all the prophets calling in tonight, amen. You got the whole entire fivefold out tonight, prophet.
Hey. I mean, when the Spirit of God is here, he will draw all men.
Amen. Caller, you're here on the Mantle of God Empowerment Program. May I have your name, please? We got a 5-second delay. Turn your radios down, please, your radios or your phones, whatever device you're using and listen in. Caller, are you there? Okay, I guess they're bashful. Amen. 347-945-5416. 347-945-5416. This is the Mantle of God Empowerment Program. We're here with Sean Morris International. Amen. The prophet of God, Sean Morris, is in the building. Amen. If you need a word, amen, you need prayer, amen, you need to call in, amen, to shut down radio here on the Mantle of God Empowerment Program. We're definitely packing jam tight tonight, amen. The lines are off the, as they say, off the chain, amen. Definitely online is definitely jammed up. You can get in here. God bless you. Amen. We got the man of God in the building just really going in on as far as scripture, amen, rightly dividing the word of truth by the Spirit of God. So, amen. I got to ask you this question, prophet.
Okay.
Now, God has a New Testament vow that a lot of prophets, God dealt with me on this particular area, that he has a New Testament vow that certain prophets have embraced, which requires abstaining from certain foods, abstaining from
Amen.
Certain areas. You know, certain prophets can watch certain things on TV, let's be clear. But then you have certain prophets that, oh, my God, it just grieved my spirit. You'd be like, what are you talking about? And then so everybody's assignment is different. So I say this for a reason. There's been a lot of controversy concerning your hair because you have locks. Amen. But I know the Spirit of God is in you. So please explain. People want to know, are you under a Nazarene vow? How can you do that? Man of God, for those who may not know, just properly educate them, man of God.
Well, see, the Bible clearly lets us know that God does not look at the outer appearance of man. God looks at the inward man. See, man is so carnal-minded. You know, let's go with our prophet Samuel. In 1 Samuel 16:7, the Bible speaks about, in 1 Samuel 1:11, the Bible said that no razor came upon his head. And, you know, we talk about the Nazarene vow, and then even Samson didn't have a razor upon his head as well. Even John the Baptist had a little wild style with his dreadlocks. See, we got to understand this. God does not look at us because of vows, but this was just a cultural base that we had. I grew up in New Orleans, and this was the style that we grew our hair in the form of dreadlocks. I'm not a Rastafarian. I don't smoke marijuana. I'm drug-free. But God does not look at the outer appearance of man. A lot of people that look at people outer appearance is because they're full of religious spirits. People don't understand is that it's about know them by the fruit, not by their suit. It doesn't matter about what's going on the outer appearance. It's about what's going on inside of the man. Even Jesus speaks about nothing defiles a man because of what comes in his mouth, but what goes out of his mouth, what defiles him.
Okay, prophet.
Go ahead, sir.
I just heard in the realm just now that we was in a different dispensation.
We was in a different dispensation back then, and we're under the dispensation of grace. Can you elaborate on that?
Well, the thing is this. The grace message has really been very tainted. The gospel of grace is an empowerment not to sin, not a license to sin. And a lot of people don't understand this. Yes, we are under a different dispensation because of grace. However, people of God, God will not contradict his law for nobody. The Bible clearly lets us know that Jesus said, I did not come condemn the law or the prophets, but I come to fulfill the law. Speaking of grace, the Bible declares to us in Romans chapter 1, verse 4, it says, and declared to be son of God with power according to the spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. But in verse 5, it says something very powerful. It says, by whom we have received grace and apostolicship for obedience to the faith. Mm. So grace and apostolicship get received from obedience to the faith.
Amen.
See, where there's no obedience, then you can't say you're walking under the dispensation of grace. The Bible clearly lets us know that do not insult the spirit of grace. The Bible speaks about it in Hebrews 6:6, that once we fall away again to renew ourselves again to repentance, that we crucify the Lord again afresh. We got to understand, people of God, that grace is enablement power. This speaks about, the Bible says, may you abound in all grace. There's a grace that talks about financial prosperity. But we don't talk about that in the Bible. We don't talk about that these days. But a grace is an enablement power not to sin, not a license to sin. People say, well, we're not under the law no more. Paul clearly said, I delight myself in the law of God. We act like that's not in Scripture. He said clearly, in the Bible said that Paul clearly said in Romans chapter 7, wherefore the law is holy, the commandments is holy, just and good. Then in verse 14, he said, for we know that the law is spiritual, but I'm carnal, soul under sin. See, the law, God's law is not wrong. See, there were several laws that he was speaking of. There was moral law, there was temporal law, sacrificial law, and the law, you know, the law that we follow, the spiritual law. So when he meant about we're not condemned to the law no more, he meant the sacrificial law of animals and things of that nature, because Jesus became the ultimate sacrifice. However, Jesus still wants us to sacrifice the temple, make sacrifices in the temple, spiritually. Because if any man chooses to come after me, he must first deny himself, pick up his cross, and follow me. See, the grace message tells us we don't have to do works no more. And the work is the finished work on the cross. That's not true. Jesus' work was finished at the cross, but not our work.
So let me ask you something, Prophet. The book of James declares, it says that if we do not keep the whole law, we miss one point. We try to keep the law and we miss one point, we're guilty of the whole thing. I know you were just talking about that Jesus did not come to do away with the law, but he came to fulfill the law. So in our attempts, if we call ourselves going underneath the law, how we get around that? Not really get around that, but how we rightly divide that right there, what James
was saying was the condemnation of the law. See, the Bible said in Galatians that we are redeemed from the curse of the law.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't say that we was redeemed from the law, just the curse of it.
Mm-hmm.
If you was to murder someone and you go in front of the judge and say, I'm not under the law no more, you're going to go to jail. If you cheat on your wife and you do something of that nature, even Jesus, okay, for example, the Pharisees came up to Jesus and asked him about divorce. He said the only way there's a reason for divorce if someone commits adultery. Now, that was considered the law.
Uh-huh.
I understand what James was saying. What he was saying was is that basically keeping all the law for us is sacrificial law. Keeping all the ordinance, keeping this days and that days and doing this and doing that. Now, moral law is different, which is the Ten Commandments. Moral law was different from the other 600-and-something Levitical laws that we find in the Bible. It's totally different. Moral law and sacrificial temple law is two different things.
Amen.
So basically, he's saying if you don't keep all these, then you have broke them all. But he wasn't talking about the moral law. So a lot of people got to understand the differences between the law that he was addressing. Because
Amen.
Paul says in Romans very clearly, he says something very powerful. He said this. For the law of the spirit of life is in Christ Jesus made me free from the law of sin and death. See, the law that we got redeemed from was the law of sin and death, not the law of God. It's a big difference. He said in verse 7, chapter 7, he said this, for I delight in the law of God afterward, after the inward man. But I see another law in my members, one against the law of my mind, bringing into me the captivity of the law of sin, which is in my members. See, you got to understand this. He say, I delight in the law of God after the inward man. Because the letter kill it, but the spirit give it life. See, we got to understand is that Paul was talking about a different law. He was talking about the law of sin and death. So a lot of people don't understand is that we are under different dispensation for us with grace. We're not under the law of sin and debt no more. That means we're not under the bondage, under the curse, under these different things. Because, see, the word grace, if you look at it in the Western Dictionary, it means a period of time to get in order.
Amen.
Your boss gives you a grace period to get to your job. After that 15 minutes grace period, he starts docking your pay.
Prophet, we have another question that came in. We had a question message that via came in. It says, concerning what you was talking about, the shepherds and the evangelist pastors, you got pastors fired up tonight. Pastor a shepherd leading the sheep, or are they an evangelist?
Well, the thing is Jesus did it all. So did Timothy, and so did Paul. See, the thing is that even as a pastor, apostle, a prophet, whatever, your job is to still to do the work of the evangelist and fulfill your ministry. He didn't say that you are all evangelists. He said do the work of the evangelist.
Okay,
so
let me. You're quicking me just now. I wanted to jump in and say, so being that the case, could I do a work of an apostle or a can I do the work of a teacher or if I'm an evangelist, can I do the work of a prophet? How does that work in retro in all five gifts?
Okay. For example, the Bible says this, that how can he believe unless he hear? How can he hear without a preacher? How can he preach unless he be sent? Now, when he speaks on that, in that retrospect, usually 9 times out of 10 in American cultures, apostles, prophets, and evangelists are more of ongoing gifts of the Spirit. Pastors and teachers are more stationary because they watch the sheep to keep the wolf from coming in. But as a pastor, their job is to gather sheep and watch the sheep. But a person can go do the work of an apostle don't mean that they are an apostle. Or just like, for example, Philip went to go do the work of the apostolic, but he was an evangelist. But he couldn't impart the gift of the Holy Spirit. It was through the hands of the apostle that they saw that the gift of the Holy Spirit was given. So, yes, you can do the work of an apostle, but there's only certain measures of the Spirit that God will allow you to impart into the people.
Okay. So, and when we go to Ananias, Ananias was not an apostle. Ananias wasn't a prophet according to the scripture. He was just a disciple. He was just somebody who had a relationship with the master. The Lord just showed himself to Ananias. He had the authority to go and lay hands on one who had the calling of an apostle. So what's going on there between Ananias, who was not an apostle, but yet in America we have all these apostolic ordinations from men who are apostles or bishops, and they're laying hands, and it's supposed to be a transfer there. But when Ananias did it, the Bible said he was neither. He was just a disciple.
Well, see, the thing is,
go ahead.
See, the thing is, Paul received his calling when he met Jesus, not when he met Ananias. He received his mantle when he met Jesus, and when he got knocked down. Ananias' job was to come and recover his sight, and for him to let him know that the Lord had called him for that purpose. But he had already had the call.
Amen.
So when he had the encounter with the Lord, because see, remember, the apostolic person is someone that seen Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
They have seen and they have experienced Jesus on a face-to-face basis.
So how would we translate that with
sent one?
How would we do that with Stephen? Stephen, who was a deacon of the church, who seen the Lord while he was being stoned, but yeah, he was a deacon full of the Holy Ghost.
Well, he was going to heaven. You don't see him doing nothing else on earth. So we all going to see the Lord once we die, but you ain't see him do nothing else on earth. So,
amen.
I mean, yes, of course he saw the Lord. I mean, if you dying, we all going to see the Lord. I mean, every man is appointed to die, then judgment. So, yes, of course he seen the Lord, but he didn't do anything for his work as an apostle in that realm. The Bible said this about the apostle. The Bible said this. The true signs of apostles were brought to you in patience, signs, wonders.
You know, one second, caller. Go ahead, prophet.
Go ahead, caller.
Oh, okay. I wanted you to finish your flow before we take the caller.
Okay. Well, the Bible clearly says this, that a true sign of apostle was brought to you in patience, signs, wonders, and mighty deeds. If that apostle doesn't move in that realm of the spirit, he's not an apostle. A lot of people think if you have many churches that make you an apostle, no, you're just a good businessman. If you're not moving in that realm of the spirit, then you're not an apostle. You're just a man that know how to gather sheep.
My Lord.
You know, because Jesus, John the Baptist's disciples came up to Jesus one day and said, are you the sent one, which is apostolic, or should we look for another? Jesus said this, tell John I said it. This is how you know I'm apostolic. The blind see, the deaf hear, the lame walk, the dead are raised. The poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he who's not offended of me. See, when you are
I guess our caller is getting impatient.
Go ahead, woman of God. Go ahead, woman of God.
Welcome to the mantle of God. May I have your name, please?
Hello?
Hello? Welcome to the mantle of God. May I have your name?
Sandra Taylor.
Okay, Sister Sandra, you're on with Prophet Sean Morris. You have your question.
Yes, I have a question. Earlier, you were talking about how people hop from church to church. I was one of those people, and seemed like every time I would get comfortable in church, seemed like the Lord would have me to leave, and I didn't understand that. And I would go, and I heard a minister, one of my cousins, he's a pastor, and he says, the Lord is not doing that. You're doing that on your own. And I just didn't understand that. And I know that God I have some gifts, but I don't know. Since my mother passed in January of last year, a lady told me even your mom's mantle been passed to you. So I'm just trying to see, can I get some insight on that?
Well, the thing is, woman of God, like I said earlier, a lot of people, they're not being fed. It depends on a lot of people in a lot of religious churches. First of all, you can't receive anything spiritual if the pastor not even speaking in tongues. That's first of all.
Okay.
Second of all, a lot of people's denominational beliefs are all off whack. The Bible said that the foundation of the church was, the man of God read the scripture earlier, it's built upon the apostles and prophets. You are the church that needs to be built, not a building.
Yes.
So without that apostolic and prophetic call or person over your life as a fivefold minister, then you cannot fully walk in it, because the Bible says this, that the apostles, the prophets, the pastors, all the whole fivefold is for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry, not the work of church. So a lot of people don't understand is that it's not about church. I'm not against buildings. We have facilities all over. But however,
amen,
it's not about church. It's not about a church building. It's about building the church, the person.
Yes.
And a lot of people don't understand is that the reason why you move around, because Jesus moved around.
Oh, okay.
Now, I do believe in discipleship. Mm-hmm. I do believe in discipleship. I do believe in fellowship. I do believe in the gathering of the saints. However, but it's for the purpose of you to go back out and do the work of ministry.
Amen.
To gather more souls. So a lot of churches are just social clubs and not really training ground for the body of Christ. So they just worry about membership. They worry about just tithes and offerings and stuff like that. But you're really supposed to go out there and do the work of ministry, for a worker is worthy of his wages as he go.
And that's why I feel hindered when I'm there, when I'm at churches and I'm not. It's like a hindrance to me.
Right. Well, see, the thing is, 9 times out of 10, most likely you're in churches that don't believe in the supernatural. Because there's no way that you're going to be in the realm of God's spirit and there's the supernatural is flowing and you feel uncomfortable.
That's right. Amen.
You know, now, don't get me wrong, there's some people that do need to go sit down somewhere and really learn.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because even the disciples sit under Jesus 3.5 years before they launched out their ministry.
Mm-hmm.
However, they were doing the works of ministry in the process of learning. Matthew chapter 10, God allowed them to go and lay hands on the sick, and when you go, do this, go do that. You know, even the 70, he allowed them to go forth and do the work of ministry. So, you know, we got to understand is that it's the purpose of getting equipping the saints is not for them to sit in the pews. It's for them to go out there and win more souls.
Yes, and I remember, and I'm going to say this, and then I know other people on the line. I remember my son, he suffers from bipolar disorder, and this apostle and this prophet, she asked me, and I just dropped by because he was sick at the time. And when they told me, well, you have to come back next week. We can't pray for him right now. We can't pray. So when I left there, I clearly heard the Spirit of the Lord say they have gifts and no power. So I guess it doesn't matter how long you've been in church or you're a pastor over a church. If you're not walking in power and just gifts, I guess it kind of, you know.
The thing is a lot of people have power. See, let me tell you something. A cop and a robber can both have a gun, but it's the one with the badge that make the other one freeze. Because he have authority, not just power, but he have
authority.
He has authority over that spirit. That's another sermon for another day. But the thing is, woman of God, is that you got to understand is that there's nothing wrong with you wanting. Now, don't get me wrong. You do need a spiritual mentor. You do need a teacher. You need to be under a covering. Don't get me wrong. But that covering must understand kingdom and not just church.
Okay. Amen.
It's a big difference. Church people bring people to church, and kingdom people bring people to the king.
Yes, right.
Amen?
Amen.
I know y'all pastors mad at me, but I still love y'all. I know the truth hurts.
Well, you know what? If we're done, if we're in an establishment, our blood won't be required at your hands. Right?
Exactly.
Because we're dying.
The Bible says this clearly in Hosea 12:13. By a prophet, they were led out of Egypt, and by a prophet, they were preserved.
Yes.
Amen. Sister, do you have another question? If not, we're going to keep it moving, amen, as we get ready to shift and get ready to idle down on the program, amen.
I just would like to say I thank God for you, men of God, tonight. I just really thank God, and I just really needed an understanding because I'm right in the middle. I talked to my pastor today, and I told him I just need some time to pray and get some direction because I don't know what to do at this point. But I know that I need it, but I just can't grasp it, you know, right now.
Well, woman of God, I just want to say to you, amen. I just want to say to you that we're here every Monday night at 9 o'clock. This show is about the mantle of God. Our apostolic mantle, prophetic, evangelistic, pastoral teachers. We deal with those five anointings, amen. People don't, and I'm about to ask the prophet a question concerning bishops and deacons. Prophet,
Prophet Sean, I'm the one that commented on your logo, Sandra Taylor.
Okay, how you doing, sister? You supposed to see that's you disobedient. You should have been hooked up with us. Glory to God.
I know. Okay.
I know.
You was out of town 1 week, and I was trying to get there, but the friend that I was going to ride with, she had to work, so we were going to ride together.
Okay,
you kinda, sister. You was out a little bit from Houston.
Amen. We're going to connect, sister.
Okay.
Amen.
We thank you for calling in, and amen, and definitely link up with the man of God. He's definitely on Facebook, Twitter,
okay.
All of those social media sites. We thank you for tuning in. Definitely don't be a stranger. We look forward to hearing from you again.
Amen.
Amen. We got another call. Amen. I guess they want to step into the ring with the prophet. Amen. Call in here on the Mantle of God Empowerment Program. Amen. May I have your name, please? Okay. You got a 5-second delay. Turn your radio down if you're still there. Carla, are you there? Okay. I guess they are bashful.
Hello?
Okay. Carla, are you there? What's your name, please?
This is Kenyana. I have a question, Kenyana.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay. It seems like, you know, I'm kind of church hopping because I'm kind of, you know, in a place I don't know where God, you know, want me to be, and I don't pray, and I don't pray about where God, you know, want me to be because the church I was recently at, you know, where I left, it was some things that was done, you know, to me that was out the order of God. And,
amen.
You know, like she was saying, you said something about church hopping, and right now, I feel like I don't have any other choice, choice right now because, you know, I don't really have a church home right now. And,
right.
You know, I've kind of been seeking God. So what do I do? You know, I've been praying.
Let me clarify something, and this is something that I didn't mention. First of all, according to scriptures, you don't pick your teacher. Your teacher is supposed to pick you.
Mm-hmm.
Elijah saw Elijah plowing in a field, and he placed a mantle on him. Jesus picked the disciples. Jesus said, disciples, you didn't pick me, I picked you. See, there's a twofold side to this, because I'm not going to blame everything on the pastor. Sometimes it's some of us, because a lot of us have a lot of personal hurt, and we bring it to church, so we have trust issues. So when someone is trying to pour into our life, we look at all preachers with a negative eye. And we look at things because you got to understand we all human. And we got to be careful because a lot of people, when you're trying to discern, you ain't learning. You're discerning. So the thing is really the teacher supposed to pick his students because as a student, you don't look for your church home. Your church home supposed to be looking for you. Yes, ma'am.
Okay, this what was done to me. I went up simply for prayer. It was a prophet in town, and everybody was just so excited about meeting this prophet and, you know, wanting to be where his prophet is. I went to church. Honestly, I needed prayer that week because I was facing something really difficult, and I went to the altar, and the lady, you know, kind of looked at me, talking about, you up at the altar, and I said, yes, ma'am. And, you know, she just went off on me, and then she told me, now take your butt back to the, you know, because I was working in the sound booth at church. And she was like, well, take your butt back to the sound booth, and I don't want to hear nothing else from you. You know, don't come back to this altar. But the lady didn't even know me. And I felt like my pastor didn't stand up for me. I felt like he wasn't there for me. She disrespected me. Then she embarrassed me. Humiliated me in front of the whole church when this lady don't even know me.
Well, see, this is the thing, sister. You don't get mad at that pastor. That between you and that prophet. First of all, if you know that you didn't do anything wrong, you supposed to went up back to that woman of God or that man of God or whatever, and you address that situation in a calm way. Because see, us as Christians, we got to stop getting offended when people say things. Because people say a lot of stuff about me, but I brush it off. The Bible say, blessed those who love thy law, and nothing shall offend them.
But I called my pastor about it, and they really didn't care. They was like, well, any of it that she said was true, but God is not going to humiliate nobody. God is not going to she talked to me like I was a scum under her feet.
I understand that some prophets are immature, and a lot of people thinking because, see, there's a difference between a prophet that's trained and walking in love of God And there's a prophet that just walk in the power of God. See, the thing is, a lot of prophets that walk in the power of God, they have the power of God come with boldness, but a lot of people, because they're still in the flesh, they don't know how to transition that to the love of God. To see,
one
it takes the
caller.
Love of God for it to really manifest.
Okay, Prophet, I hate to interrupt your flow. We got another caller here on the Mantle of God Empowerment Program. Caller, you might as well step into the ring with the rest of everybody else. Amen. May I have your name, please?
Kenyana.
Okay. Well, we still have you with us, Sister Kenyana.
Amen. Well, Sister, the thing is God will bless you. God will lead you. You need to go on a fast, pray, and God will lead you in the direction where you need to go. If that ministry is moving in the supernatural, if it's moving in the blessings and the favor of the Lord, that's where you transit. That's where you bring. That's where you put yourself in alignment to be at. Because the thing is you don't want to be spiritually uncovered at the same token. Because, you know, and the thing is, some teachers are harsh. But you have to obey those who are over you, for they are watchers of your soul, regardless to the fact. And a lot of people don't understand it. The Bible says, obey your masters, whether they be gentle or harsh. See, we don't talk about that in the Bible. So even if, because me, I'm a tough teacher. I talk to my people crazy sometimes. But guess what? The reason being because this you're fighting a real demon, a real devil. So we can't be pacified or babyfied or feel played because of our feelings. So we got to really take this thing to the Lord and say, guess what? Even though they might have been in the area, eat the fish and spit out the bones.
Yeah, but I think it was kind of because I seen a vision about her and, you know, she attacked me.
I think I talked to you one day about this on the phone,
yeah.
Woman of God.
Yeah, we did.
Well, Carla, we definitely thank you for calling in to the Mantle of God Empowerment Program. We definitely got to keep it moving. We definitely wanted to give you your time to say your piece and definitely that the prophet may answer your question. Amen. We thank you for tuning in, and we look forward to hearing from you more in the future.
Okay.
Next caller, are you there? Welcome to the Mantle of God Empowerment Program. May I have your name, please? Carl, are you there?
Hello?
Yes, sir. Welcome to the Mantle of God Empowerment Program. You're live, amen. We're broadcasting live, amen. You have the Prophet Sean Morris of Sean Morris International. You have a question, please.
Praise the Lord. Yes, my name is Minister Jacob Rivera, and I'm basically calling to receive a prayer concerning my marriage.
Amen. Amen. What seems to be the issue, man of God?
There are several. Basically, it's just seeking prayer and for instructions on how to proceed with just really taking what's happening in the marriage now to the Lord. Even though I am a minister of the gospel, there are many times when I'm involved or invoked by fleshly issues concerning my marriage. We have not had time to really resolve our issues without coming out, without staying in the spirit of the Lord. And I have a lot of, you know, pent up frustrations because a lot of the situations in the marriage are not changing. And I'm really seeking the Lord to really see how do I move in this season without offense. How do I do that without offending my spouse? So giving her the word and instructions without her becoming offended by what I'm saying, but rather than
Can I ask you a question? Is she a minister of the gospel as well?
Yes.
Okay, one thing about it is, man of God, we can't change people. We can only change ourselves. Once we begin to transition ourselves, then the situation around us will change. See, you got to understand what God has put together, let no man separate. However, when man is in the picture, it brings a separation. See, you must walk in the things of the spirit and not look at things from a natural perspective as the husband. You're the head, so you pray. You, if it's something dealing with your wife, then you pray and you speak life over her. Don't speak the problem, speak the solution.
Right.
You know, don't speak what's going on. Speak, no, you're beautiful. You're this, you're that. You know what, I'm not going to be angry. I'm not going to do this because there's a spirit of anger that comes and rises upon you. So once these things break, you have to break those spirits. Like, no, I'm going to treat my wife. We're going to be together. We're not going to get a divorce. We're going to do this together. Now, if adultery is involved, then you have to ask God for forgiveness. And or she needs to ask God for forgiveness and really say, God, look, you know, this is a reason for divorce, but I'm asking you, Lord, that you please forgive us for our sins and move forward. So the thing is, you have to speak the word over your wife, over your life, period. The Bible said that the husband washes the wife with the watering of the word. So if you want this problem to be dissolved or a solution, you must do it through the word. You speak life over your wife. You speak life over yourself, over your marriage. You plead the blood of Jesus every morning. You declare and decree it. Because, see, I can pray right now and break every chain, but guess what? If you go re-pick up those chains, that was all done for nothing.
Right.
Because the prophetic doesn't just come with me prophesying your future or what's going on in the now, but also to give you prophetic instructions.
Right. Which is
so
why
I was you, I would go on a fast, I would pray, and I would begin to speak words concerning my marriage that's according to the scriptures and start proclaiming it, declaring, decreeing it over you and your wife. Don't argue. Learn certain things is not meant to be addressed. Basically, keep your mouth shut. Let her believe she right, even if she is wrong. Because simple fact is, you bumping against the system, that's flesh fighting against flesh. That's a spirit behind that. So, Father God, right now in the name of Jesus, we bind every spirit of division. We bind every spirit of divorce in the name of Jesus. Break every chain in the name of Jesus. I bind every spirit of every spirit of anger in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord. We bind every spirit. It goes now in the name of Jesus. Every temper tantrum, we bind you in the name of Jesus. Lord, that you're breaking all carnality in the name of Jesus Christ. Every religious spirit, every spirit that is not of the living God must go.
Yes, God.
In the name of Jesus Christ. And Lord, I pray that you fill him more with the Holy Spirit and fire.
Yes, God.
In the name of Jesus Christ. My Rosha. My, give him all your fire, Lord. In the name of Jesus, Miro, touch his wife, touch her mind, touch her thoughts. In the name of Jesus Christ, touch that ministry that you have put together, because what God has put together, let no man separate. In the name of Jesus.
Miro, yes.
Miro,
shut up. Man of God, the Bible declares that the two, the Bible declares that the two become one, amen. And just when you go on a fast, make sure that your wife fasts with you, man of God. Just make sure that... Why fast, which, amen, that the Bible declares that so Satan can't tempt you for your inconsistency, amen. So no,
amen.
Don't focus so much on body, amen, the body ministering of the body, amen. Focus on the spiritual ministry of the spirit, amen, and of the soul, amen. In the name of Jesus Christ, man of God.
Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you, God. Hey, Shata. Hey, Kanamasi Onorodoboshaya. Hallelujah. Thank you, oh God.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Well, we bless you, man of God, amen. We bless you, amen. Victory is yours, amen. On tonight, God has definitely removed a lot of things off you tonight, amen. We go forth in the power of his anointing, amen. God bless you, man of God. We're here every Monday night at 9 o'clock, amen, on the Mantle of God Powerment Program. God bless you, amen. Go forth in the power of God.
Amen. Thank you, sir.
Your live caller, amen, hallelujah, Jesus. Ah, Jesus, his anointing on here. Ah, Jesus. You're welcome. You're live on the Mantle of God Empowerment Program. Caller, may I have your name, please? Hallelujah.
Hello?
Yes, yes, caller. You're live here on the Mantle of God Empowerment Program. We have Sean Morris International in the building, amen. Prophet Sean Morris, you have a question for the man of God.
Praise the Lord. No, I have a comment. My name is Pastor Tamaka Rogers of Walk by Faith, Not by Sight International Ministry, Sandy Springs, Georgia. First, I want to say that I am in total agreement with what was just said to the man about concerning his marriage, and I 100% agree. Secondly, I would like to say that Bishop T.D. Jakes made a comment, and his comment was that bishop is his title, but apostle is his mantle. And that's the same thing that I say. Pastor is my title, but apostle is my mantle, because that's what I do. My husband and I flow in the apostolic anointing. We operate as apostle and prophet. And but we have tribal congregation. And because we have a congregation, we are pastors. And through this broadcast, I've heard some things that concerns me, because it is imperative that as fivefold ministers, we promote the unification of the body of Christ, and that includes the fivefold ministry gifts working together and understanding that we all have one calling, and that calling is the perfecting of the saints. We have to train people in our different areas of the fivefold ministry. An apostle is no greater than a prophet. A prophet is no greater than a pastor. A pastor is no greater than an evangelist. An evangelist is no greater than a teacher. That's like saying a father is greater than a mother, or a mother is greater than a father. Whenever Amen. God, what God is doing is he is raising up a people. He's coming back for one church without spot or wrinkle. And if the leaders can't become one with each other, as fivefold ministers, because they are constantly vying for who is the most important. And I'm not saying that that's what the man of God is saying or doing. I'm simply saying that I don't want that message relayed to the body of Christ on this broadcast.
Well, can I say something, woman of God? Can I say something to address your issue? First of all, T.D. Jakes is not an apostle. That's that. Let me clarify that right quick. Second of all, the thing is with the body of Christ, we all supposed to be unified, but we also got to know our placements. The Bible clearly lets us know that Paul said, I'm the least amongst all apostles. So that let us know there is a ranking in the spirit. The Bible also says that the first, God has ordained in the church first apostles, prophets, third teachers. There is a ranking in the spirit.
That's not what the word says. That's not what the word says.
That's what it said in 1 Corinthians chapter 12.
The word says he appointed apostles, prophets, pastors. It does not say first apostles. Second.
No. You talking about Ephesians. I'm talking about 1 Corinthians chapter 12, starting at verse 26, woman of God. It says first, he has ordained in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers. After that, the working of miracles, the gift of healings, help in administrations. Are all apostles? No. Are all prophets? No. Do all have gifts of healings? No. Government and diversity of tongues? No. And he said, "Is covet the earnest the best gifts, and I'll show you a more excellent way." Yeah. So that was talking about 1 Corinthians chapter 12, starting at verse 26.
Right. And see, what you're talking about is 1 Corinthians chapter 12, which is talking about the ministry gifting, because the gifting of an apostle, that's based on ability. That's why in that, keeping it in context, it talks about working of miracles, because it's talking about the ability. But see, when you start talking about the fivefold ministry gifts as it pertains to apostle, prophet, pastor, evangelist, teacher, now you're talking about the offices and the authority. And that authority is what I am talking about tonight. The fact that the fivefold ministry gifts walk in authority to the perfecting of the saints,
having that same
authority flowing in the gifting that God has given. And earlier this evening, you said, now a pastor, and I can say this because my apostle has already acknowledged my apostolic mantle. So I can speak on this because I know this. The thing about it is that when it comes to a pastor, although they are not considered evangelists within the fivefold ministry gift, even you yourself said that the pastor is to do the work of an evangelist.
Exactly.
And so And so here it is in the Old Testament. You got Samuel, who was priest and prophet. Now, the priest of that day was considered the man of God that they would go to as the leader or the pastor, children of Israel. So he was the pastor and prophet. All five, it's in the Word of God. All
well,
five.
Well, woman of God, first of all, the original apostles, if you really want to understand.
And I am simply saying that it is imperative that we minister to the people of God the unity of the fivefold ministry gift. Because
you're not just about you.
I just want to finish my comment. This is not about you. This is about the fact that I have heard it said on television. I have heard it tonight. I have heard it on the radio. And I am so disturbed in my spirit that we as the fivefold ministers cannot come together in unity and promote.
Oh, no, no, this is not about, woman of God, this is not about disunity. This is about placement in the body. See, first of all, the apostles, a lot of people claiming to be apostles, the original apostles.
Wait.
A lot of people that are pastors, and that's why a lot of people are dying on a vine in churches, and a lot of people are claiming to be apostles that are not apostles. The Bible even speaks about a revelation that you have tested apostles and found them to be liars. So the thing is this. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 10, when he gave them the power over unclean spirits to cast them out, to heal all matters of sickness and all matters of disease, the Matthew chapter 10 anointing shows you what a real apostle was. First of all, they had to raise the dead. The Bible said that they healed the sick, cleansed the lepers, raised the dead, cast out devils. Now, Mark 16 anointing talks about the average believer, which is heal the sick, speak in new tongues, if you drink any poison, by no means harm you, and then you shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. See, I'm not here to cause division in the body. I'm putting a placement to the body and let us know that we all play our part and know our lane so we can affect the saints for the work of ministry, so we can touch them and perfect them. It's not about disunity. It's not about me. I'm not talking about my one-man show or anything like that. I'm talking about a lot of these pastors that are hurting the sheep. We heard the callers. They call and they pastor mess this. Because the simple fact is a lot of people are getting commissioned by people that are in the flesh and not really apostles or not really pastors. A lot of people have a pastor title but don't have a shepherd's heart. A lot of people have a position, they have these things that are not even scriptural based.
No, I totally 100% agree with everything that you just said, 100%. What you just said, I agree with. It's just that as I was listening tonight, I heard you say, that when you were speaking, you said the apostle and the prophet lead the church. The pastors don't lead the church. And
they
then there were actually pastors do lead the church. The apostles, Apostle Paul appointed Timothy to lead the church. That was by appointment of the apostle. The apostle stepped back and went in to do a work. The apostle did more evangelistic work than Timothy did. He was more mission bound than Timothy was because he could not stay in a set. He couldn't stay in one position and tend to a flock and lead that church. He could not.
Well, see, that was
because
Apostle
he had
Paul
to go
was,
out.
Well, see, the
he
original apostle, if you think about it, that was Paul.
What the apostle
but
did,
them
apostle
said,
didn't
listen.
Lead apostle.
No,
the apostle
listen.
Didn't lead the church. The apostle led Timothy, who he appointed to lead the church. As Timothy led the church, Apostle Paul led Timothy.
Exactly,
and,
but guess what? Peter and them did not do that. Peter and them stayed in Judea with the church. Matter of fact, the people brought their offerings and laid it at their feet. So every apostle, that's our teaching.
That's our teaching. My husband and I, we teach about the apostles and the people laying everything at the apostles' feet so that people would not have need because it is the apostles' job. That's why I'm saying what I'm saying on tonight, because it is the apostles' job to unify the body as part
of course, it is. We're not disunifying. We're just putting placement and correction to the body. Because that's why the people hurt me, because if the apostles were doing their job, then the people wouldn't be church hopping, or the people would be empowered if they really were doing their job as a real apostle. Because the Bible said that apostle has, first of all, patience, signs, wonders, and mighty deeds. If they're not doing that, they're not a real apostle. So that's a keynote thing right there.
So if these things are not being displayed, then they're not an apostle. They're just a person that got an entitlement.
And, okay, I got one last thing to say, and this is something that I was teaching last week, referring to what you're saying about people and them not seeing and them church hopping and them doing all of these different things. At the same time that the apostles of old in the Word of God that we read were laying hands on the sick and they were recovering, walking past people and their shadow were healing them, preaching the gospel and people were free on the spot. At the same time that all of that was happening, Paul was still writing letters to Galatia, Philippi, Corinth, Ephesus, rebuking these people because they were not doing what was supposed to be done. They were running from church to church. They were running from place to place. They were running from leader to leader. They said, Paul said, hey, what is the difference between Onesiphorus and myself? They were comparing leaders. The same thing that they do in the today and age. Ain't nothing new under the sun. So it's not that the apostles aren't doing their job. It's that sin and iniquity are still here in the earth.
Of course.
And so
I totally agree with you on that.
It's in the Word. What's happening now today happened in the Word of God. And that's why it's important that we unify, pull on each other's strength, and continue to build each other up in love. And believe me, brother, I'm not coming against you. It's just that I'm hearing these people on this line talking about how they offended and how they church hopping and everything else. And I know for a fact, I went through some faith walk, I can tell you. I've been through some things with pastors treating me irresponsibly. They were irresponsible with my soul as a youth in the ministry. But what my husband and I decided to do as youth in the ministry is pray for our leaders. And we saw deliverance come to them because what these people need to hear is the reason why these leaders are acting amok is because there's a greater attack on the leaders and the saints are no longer praying.
Exactly. Well, see, the woman of God, you never heard me once on this line tell them to disrespect their leader. I even addressed the scripture where they say, obey your masters or your leaders, whether they be gentle or harsh. So I never did address them to lead their leaders or lead a church or anything of that nature. I told them to not even have the spirit of offense. So I don't know exactly what you heard me say. I didn't mention them to church hop or told them. I was telling them the reason why many are being affected because everybody had the same story about church hurt. Because a lot of things are being fleshly oriented or the people are being touched by fleshly people. And like I said, in a lot of things that people don't understand is that people do not preach in love, especially in different races. I see the difference between the Caucasian culture, the African-American culture, and different Chinese and the Spanish. And what I see all the time is there's in a white culture, they have grace, love, but no rebuke. In a black culture, they have rebuke, correction, but no love. So we come off harsh. We come off cruel. We come off aggressive. So the love of God is not being exuberant, so people do move around. No matter how much anointing that they have, how much of the pastor may have the word, but if it's not done in love and it's not done with the pure heart of God, then of course the people are going to move around because Jesus displayed love. He didn't just display power, but he also displayed love, not aggression. The Bible said that the true sign of apostle was done in patience. A lot of people don't have patience for people. Signs, wonders, and mighty deeds. So that's the reason why a lot of people church hop. Now, I'm not making an excuse for them to do that because I do believe in discipleship and having a spiritual covering. So the thing is it takes both party parts because remember, Jesus was the good shepherd, not just any shepherd, but a good shepherd. So that shepherd has to be good to his sheep. You know, so, I mean,
amen.
Hey,
pastors after his own. We're going to agree in prayer that God will continue to lead people to pastors who are after his own heart.
Yes,
and,
amen.
And
I totally agree.
That's the end of my comment. Thank you for listening
amen.
To me. Thank you for responding.
Amen. You be blessed,
I
woman
love
of God.
You.
Love
I
you
love
too,
you.
Woman
I love
of
you.
God.
I love you. Bless you.
Amen. Be blessed.
Amen. Uh-huh.
Amen. That was Pastor Tamar. Walk by faith, not by sight. International Ministries, amen. On the Mantle of God Empowerment Program. My God, Prophet, you're bringing everybody out tonight, amen.
Amen. I love it. I love the people of God. I love people's opinion. See, the thing is, man of God, is that the Bible says this: if we can confess that Jesus Christ came into the flesh, we of God. So that seals it right there. We may have
Amen.
Differences in opinions and differences in doctrine, but if
Amen.
You can believe that Jesus Christ came in the flesh, then you of God. You just might be in error, but you of God.
My Lord. My Lord. Well, we got a few more minutes. We went a little bit over tonight, amen, because we were jam-packed, amen. But I tell you what, you got a few more minutes, amen. If you want to get your call in, amen, with the prophet of God, Shawn Morris, amen. We usually be out of here by now, but it's shut down radio mm-hmm. tonight. We jam-packed, man. If we ain't got several regions definitely on here tonight, man, very lot of numbers. It's unbelievable. 347-945-5416, 347-945-5416. Man of God, go ahead and give out your information for the people, those who want to get in contact with you, those who want to be discipled, mentored, there we go. welcome, caller. You're here on the Mantle of God Empowerment Program, amen, Shutdown Radio with Shawn Morris International. We have the prophet of God in the building. May I have your name, please?
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can. What's your name?
I'm so sorry. I was chiming in a couple of times. This is Prophet Angela Shepherd. Grace and peace.
Grace and peace. Shalom. How you doing, prophetess?
Blessed.
Amen.
Blessed. I started out having a question for Prophet Shawn concerning fasting, the variation, the difference between the 40-day and the 21-day, because I'm actually walking it out. But I got a redirect from the Holy Spirit, which kind of correlates to what was just being discussed. And I had shared this with Prophet Shawn a few days ago, and it really is addressing order, that Abba Father is releasing order, because preparing the earth for you know, his kingdom. He's getting things in order. And Prophet Shawn, I was just wondering, just a little excerpt of that revelation, if I could read it, because it seems to fall absolutely in line with what was just discussed.
Okay.
And and what, you know, being that I've been under this 40-day fast, and now Father has transitioned me into the 21-day, which I will get to that, because I want Prophet to talk to me about that. But this is what in deep prayer, what Father revealed. He said he's sending supernatural power and authority upon an elect chosen of his apostles that will activate, accelerate, and annihilate, and they will be identified by this glory, by this anointing, and he was very specific. You know, he said that the apostles will see, they will see that the sword, they will see the sword in their hand, and they will see the glory that's emanating from them, and they'll see this through their spiritual eyes, and the apostles will yield to their authority, and they will either be activated with greater kingdom power and authority and be accelerated in their prospective mantle in their region, territory, or their house, or an annihilation will occur. The supernatural apostles, talking about this task force that God is sending forth with this particular anointing on these particular apostles, will be sent throughout the earth to set order. For Father's kingdom is coming, and this is a part of that great wave of God's glory overtaking the earth, according to Habakkuk 2:14. And the concept of, and what Father was just really kind of revealing was that, you know, this is what he is releasing. You know, the whole earth shall declare the knowledge, you know, of the glory of the Lord as the waters covers the sea. And it just rang so much in my spirit as I was listening to, you know, everything that was going on, is that Father is, our God is a God of order.
Yes, yes, he is.
And he is readying the earth. He's readying, you know, he's getting everything prepared.
Amen.
Glory to God. And
amen.
I'm feeling the anointing.
The thing is, woman of God, is that this, you know, the disciples asked Jesus, you know, they was fussing about who's going to be the highest in the kingdom. And Jesus gave them that answer. He said that a servant is the most highest in the kingdom. So
yes.
That let me know that there is ranks even in the kingdom.
Yes.
Because he let them know that there is ranks in the kingdom by saying a servant is the highest. So if there's a highest, there must be a lowest.
Mm.
And a lot of people don't understand is that we have placement in the body. The feet don't do what the hands do. The
Amen.
Face don't do what the stomach do. We all have different parts to play. And then there's major organs in the body. There's your heart. If your heart breaks down, see, you can chop off your hand and you could probably still live. But if your heart stop beating, you gone. Because
you
that heart is that apostle. Go ahead, man of God.
Well, I was just going to say that a lot of times we have order in marriage. God has, we can agree that God has mandated order in marriage. You have man,
right.
Woman, child, amen. So we would think that there's some type of order in God's church, and we the bride of Christ. Think about
come
that. Caller, we here on the Mantle of God Empowerment Program, amen, Shutdown Radio. We have Sean Morris International in the building, Prophet Sean Morris. Can I have your question, please?
Well, Prophet, I'm sorry. Can I ask the second part?
Okay, go ahead.
It's about fasting, and I'll be really quick. It's about fasting.
Okay, go ahead.
So, Jesus fasted 40 days, and that was preparing him for ministry. So my question is, if Father gave me the directive to do a 40-day fast. But then
right.
In the midst of the 40-day fast, then I got to redirect to do a 21-day fast. Now, the 40-day fast was a sunrise to sunset, but now the 21-day fast is no food, okay, just water.
Well, let me tell you about this. First of all, a real fast is this.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, there was no such thing as a 21-day fast according to Scripture. Daniel just consecrated himself for 21 days.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
It wasn't called a fast. He said he was in mourning for 20. Now, we know he did not eat choice bread, choice food, but that was according to consecration of his flesh, not so much of a fast, because the word fast means to abstain from food, period, for such a period of time.
Okay.
Jesus did a 40-day fast. That's a number of deliverance. There's a 3-day fast that Esther did.
Okay.
9 times out of 10, when there was a fast, it was around the clock with no
okay.
food. Moses did a 40-day fast. Elijah did a 40-day fast. Matter of fact, Moses did 2 40-day fasts. So when there's a fast involved,
mm-hmm.
It's abstaining from food, period. You must be praying, and 9 times out of 10, it's going to be around the clock, day and night. The Bible speaks about Anna the prophetess. She fasted and prayed day and night.
Yes.
In the temple. So it's always when you see a fast, it's going to be day and night. I don't know where people get the 6 to 6 stuff from. It's crazy, but, you know, hey, we all learn. That's an American fast.
Okay.
So a lot of people don't understand is 9 times out of 10, you're only going to drink either water. Some people do juice, liquids. I mean, if you're not used to fasting, I would say do a juice fast if you're not used to fasting in that way. I wouldn't do a dry fast unless it's really guided by God in no more than 3 days, like Esther did for a 3-day
yes.
fast.
And I did that. So
according to the 21-day, a lot of people get that Daniel scripture mixed up. You know, that wasn't what took place. That's an odd number anyway.
Thank you for that clarity. Thank you.
First of all, God does a specific number. So 40 days is a number of deliverance. You can do a 7-day fast. The Bible speaks about even 14-day fasts. Paul did. So that's different things when it mentions fast and consecration. So really look at the scripture that mainly pertain fast. As far as the Daniel fast, it wasn't a fast. It was just a consecration from certain foods just so he can, you know, just for the purpose of keeping himself consecrated according to his customs.
Okay. Okay.
I hope that answered your question.
Yes, it did. Man. Thank you so much, man of God. Amen.
Amen. You're welcome, woman of God. Man.
We got another caller on the Mental God Empowerment Program. Caller, are you still there? Okay. Caller, are you still there? Last call.
Good evening.
Say your name one more time, Evangelist.
Evangelist Sugar Trask of Scarf.
Hey,
Ministry.
Sugar.
Hey, man of God.
Hey, how you doing, woman of God?
I have been trying to get on this line for about 40 minutes, and I don't think you could hear me. I have a question, and man of God, I know you can help me with this. What is the proper protocol if you're in the church service, God has spoken a word to you for the congregation, for the bishop, the pastor, and at what point in time do you go ahead and give the word?
Okay, I'm glad that's a good question. There's controversy to that, but it's very easy. The Bible clearly tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, it tells us that if ye may all prophesy one by one, that all may learn and all be comforted. Now, when he said that, he was talking about the prophets. He was addressing it to the prophets, and the spirit of the prophets is subject to the prophets. But look what he said. He said, let the prophet speak two or three, and let the other judge. If any be revealed to another that sit by, let the first hold his peace. For we all may prophesy one by one, that all may learn and all may be comforted. So when you're in a service and you have a prophetic word, that speaker supposed to know that you have a word from God. You go to that speaker and be like, I have a word from God. If he addresses you and know you as being a prophet of God, you hold yourself, let him speak, and then he's supposed to let you release that word. So a lot of people say, and he's supposed to sit back and judge that word. So a lot of people in the church, they say, well, oh, give me the word. I'm the pastor. Give the word to me, and I'm going to give it to the people. No. God didn't speak it to you. He spoke it to me. So you hold your peace and let me give that word. Now you stand back and you judge my word so all may learn and all may be comforted. For the spirit of the prophet is subject unto the prophet. So the church service these days, they have the prophet, and he won't be the main show, the main attraction, and he don't let other people with a prophetic voice get up. Now, I ain't saying that the Bible says only let two or three. They ain't say a whole congregation because everybody's not a prophet.
Amen.
He said let two or three prophets prophesy, not two or three people.
Okay, so it's not necessarily so that you write it down and bring it to him before the service.
No. What is that in the Bible? What is that in the scripture? The devil is a liar. Sugar, if I ever see you write a piece of paper and hand it to me, I'm going to tear it up.
The man said, if you have a word, you come and bring it to me, and I'll judge and see if it's for the congregation or not. And I just said, thank you kindly. Yes, sir, but I'm going on anyway. I no longer go to that church, but I wanted to make certain that I was following what the Bible says.
Oh, yeah, that's biblical protocol, what I just told you. Yeah, that,
okay.
I don't know what. Yeah, that's not even scriptural. That's not even scriptural. That dog won't hunt. Yeah, that devil's a lie.
Write it down and bring it to him.
No, the only thing I'm supposed to write down is the vision to make it plain. Okay, I'll put it right down.
I want to say something to your woman of God. Just you know, as you were saying about releasing a word, amen. If you gotta write it down, amen. You know, you gotta be kind of mindful of that, amen. Because if it's from the Lord, amen, it's in your spirit. It's in your spirit, amen. So when you release it, amen, when you release it to the man of God, amen, he has a mandate at that given time when God allows you to talk to him or speak with him, say, I have a word. You tell it to him, amen. He said, well, you know, if he don't allow you to release it, then the weight in the spirit realm is on him as an overseer. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
God will deal with him. God will deal with him. Amen. If he, if it's from God and he doesn't release it, amen, God will deal with him. Amen. But if it's not of God and we had too much broccoli, God will deal with us. Amen. So, you know,
right.
so just definitely just know that woman of God. Amen.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you so much.
Love you, sugar.
So... Hey.
Sugar, that's
amen.
My
God bless you so.
Amen. Amen. God bless you. Amen. Listen, we got to get ready to get up out of here. Amen. We have, we have went over about an hour. Almost. We've been on the air about 2 hours. My God on Zion. This has been awesome. Amen. Man of God, go ahead and give you, go ahead and give out your information right quick. Amen.
Amen. Amen. You can reach us at 281-818-6982. That's 281-818-6982. Also, check us out on Facebook under SeanMorris.1979. Our website is www.seanmorris.org. That's SeanMorris.org. Again, the number is 281-818-6982. Thank you.
Amen. Listen, we're here every Monday night at 9 o'clock, the Mantle of God Empowerment Program, sponsored by Nathan on the Spot. We bring you the best of those who operate apostolically, prophetically, evangelistically, pastoral, and the teacher's anointing. Next week, you better be prepared. We have Dr. Alicia Broughton, PhD. She's an evangelist. We have an evangelist, amen. Evangelist will be in the... Yes. We have an evangelist, amen. Evangelist will, see, we didn't even get to touch on that. Prophet, you coming back, amen. I'm going to talk
amen.
To your sister, amen. We're going to bring you back to Shut Down Radio one more time. So we definitely going to bring the man of God back up in here, amen. Listen, next week, Dr. Alicia Broughton, Kingdom Business. She's counseled millionaires. She's been on BET. I mean, she's been a lot of different places. So be clear, if you need help for your business, your kingdom business, you need to get that thing off the ground, amen. Definitely be back here next Monday night at 9. It definitely goes down. Listen, God bless you. I give honor to God and who the head. I also give God the praise for, amen, for Pastor Hill for a wonderful job. He must have took on the whole world tonight, amen. Everybody been calling from everywhere. Folks are now just still trying to get in, amen. But we can't do it. We got to go. Listen, I'll see you Sunday on the Kingdom Voices Gospel program. We're going to have the Russell delegation, amen, previewing Almighty God. Featuring Lucretia Campbell, amen, and also the group featuring Lisa McClendon, amen. God bless you. We out of here. God bless you.
God bless you, man of God.
I know too much about him. Yeah, and that's nothing to me. you will.